Hello all, this is Nina and I'm welcoming you to the 59th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. We just had Mahalaya on the 6th of October. I thought of finding what kind of wild uncultivated food one eats in those times. There are few plants that are kind of popped up as iconic for the season. Not all of them are wild uncultivated though. You know, it's a difficult thing to do because we have entered a period where for most part of India, the southwestern monsoon has just finished. Actually, it's still lingering. And in Tamil Nadu, we are going to experience, starting this month, the reverse monsoon, which is the northeastern monsoon. Monsoon months are prescribed as not the months one should eat the wild uncultivated greens. But there are some greens which you can still eat. And I have covered them in my previous podcasts. If you go to the YouTube channel and look at the pictures, anything to do with the cloud and rain in the picture, you know they kind of cover this topic. The things that you should eat and should not eat at this season. As a thumb rule, anything that climbs you can eat. Like, for example, the ivy gourd, which is, climbing. Actually, almost all kinds of gourds, this is the season for it. You know, be it bitter gourd, pointed gourd, pumpkin, and what is that? The white pushnikai. Very good to eat at this time. And this is the kind of food you should eat. Of the tubers, actually two traditional tuber can be eaten. One is, of course, sweet potatoes that can be, collected, harvested and kept. And the other is seppan karange, which is the colocasia. Arbi, we call it in Hindi. So to dig in a little more about traditional food usually eaten across in India during Mahalaya, one seed that kind of popped up across the board is sesame. Traditionally, it seems it holds a very important role both in the ritual and food. Thinking over what is not to like about sesame in this particular season. You see, just the rains have stopped in some places. In some places, rain are starting. So, your health-wise, there are issues, cough, cold, weakness of the body, maybe ache in the body. These are all for which the food should be the ones which addresses this. Sesame, just the seed, is a good source of fiber. It actually may have properties to lower cholesterol and triglycerides. It's a good plant protein source, and it's supposed to control high blood pressure, support healthy bones, reduce inflammation, which is again a very important aspect for post-monsoon and pre-monsoon time, change of season. It's a good source of vitamin B and also help in forming blood cells. But why are we talking about sesame? For that, we need to talk a bit about Mahalaya itself. Let's talk about Mahalaya. Mahalaya is celebrated on the cusp of Amavasya, that is at the end of the no moon and the beginning of the new moon. Much of the calendars in India are lunar aligned. The calendars themselves vary across the states and region a bit, but they're all lunar in their alignment and in that way pretty close to each other, coming to think of it. Mahalaya is also called Mahalaya Amavasya. In Sanskrit, Amavasya, Ama means together and Vasya means to dwell or to cohabit. In another connotation of the term, it actually signifies no moon. In old Indian cultures and belief, irrespective of the region, Amavasya is considered a time of great power. In Tamil tradition, Amavasi, which is commonly used in the religious sphere, it's called Puthupi Rai. And in this time, usually there is a fasting that is observed And both sun and the moon god are together invoked. The dark night of this period in the September-October is known as Pitru Paksha or Mahalaya, in which especially sacred, it is this period is especially sacred for offering for the departed ancestors. So across India, this is the time in which the ancestors are remembered, and the way the ancestors are remembered is they are also offered til, which is the sesame, across in different parts of India. Of course, the way it is offered is different, but it is offered and ancestors are remembered. Apparently, due to the grace of Yama, which is the god of death, any offering made to the departed in this period actually benefits not just your ancestors, but any departed soul. So it's actually good for the souls and atmas who are around. And they actually return to, for the rest of the year, they would return in the time of the Diwali. So during this time between Mahalaya and Diwali, they are around. And so Mahalaya is the day in my part of the country, which I, Eastern India, it's also signified something else. It's almost a religious, even though it, it's stems from a religious celebration. The celebration is so big that it's a community celebration itself. Mahalaya is the day which starts off this whole affair. It is the day when the goddess Durga is believed to have descended on earth. So according to the tradition in Bengal, people wake up early in the morning and listen to Devi Mahatma, which is a Chandi part scriptures, which is actually an one of the longest running All India Radio program. I think it was recorded sometime around 1957. And each year the same program is played, and you really don't have quite a Mahalaya celebration unless you have listened, woken up at, some 4 o'clock or something and listened to that. And in my own memory, Mahalaya used to be that we were woken up pretty early, even earlier than 4 o'clock. And we used to drive to Dakshineshwar. And so the all along the way, the transistor would be, playing this Chandi part. And by the time we reach the shrine, the Chandi part will finish. The sun would be up and it's time to take a dip in the Ganga. And this is where we could see that people who would pray towards and offer to the ancestors, this is the time they do in different places. In Ganga is one, Rameshwaram is one, where a lot of people go to pay homage to their ancestors. So this day, from after Mahalaya, there is a week or so, I think a week, and which kind of starts the day for the 10-day celebrations of Durga. Actually, Durga Puja itself starts from the 6th day. So Mahalaya beginning starts the day 1, and then the day 6th will be the major, festivities that start. But each of these days leading to Navaratri, which has a significance all across India, actually, has a meaning. For example, the day 1 is to control anger. Day 2 is to stop judging people. Day 3 is to leave all grudges. Day 4 is to tell yourself that you have forgiven, that you can forgive everyone. Day 5, it's time to say that I will accept everyone as they are. Day 6, which is Shashti, is that love everyone unconditionally. Day 7, Shaptami, is that to the day one says that I will abstain from jealousy and guilt. It's interesting, both jealousy and guilt. Ashtami, the 8th day, will be to leave all fears. Navami, which is kind of the Navaratri, is to offer gratitude for all things I have and all things I will get. and Vijayadashami, there is the day to celebrate abundance in the universe, that is for all, and to say that I will do my best to share. And of course, there is this other aspect of Vijayadashami in which there's a Ravan, you know, Ravana is, there is this festivity in which Rama actually goes and kills Ravan. So Durga, which is the, who is the goddess of inner strength or Shakti. So this is kind of invoking the inner strength. It's the time to invoke the inner strength each of this day within us. But of course, this kind of gets clouded with all the fun and festivities that is there around. But still, this period, if I, you know, get back to the wild uncultivated plants around, some things that actually stands out in Mahalaya. One is what we call is Kashful or Sacrum Spontaneum. Is the scientific name. It's a grass which has, which grows spontaneously, and it has white flowers. It's a kind of an iconic picture of the time during the Durga festival. Have to have blue sky, white cloud, because it's still kind of at the end of the rain, and it to have fields of this grass with white flowers. And so I was thinking, I really never quite knew what is the use of this this grass, just from the belief that everything, all plants are medicinal. I thought there must be some medicinal quality to it. When I looked into it, I found that it is called Khan's grass in English, and the flower used to be, and the stalk used to be used as a pen to write in olden, you know, olden days. It's also a medicinal herb, of course, for treatment of a varied condition, from urinary tract infection to renal condition, piles, improving the quality of breast milk, you name it. Like, there's a quite a range of things. Then it started, you know, I started thinking about the stories my mother used to tell about when she was a very young child and had visited East Bengal, where they originally came from. And Mahalaya used to be kind of a celebration, which, you know, she grew up in Calcutta. And when she went to this little village where the celebration was going on, she couldn't believe, are they talking about real people or are they talking about some goddess? Because it was so integrated with life. So suddenly on the Mahalaya day, somebody will sit, even the adults will run around and say, you know, so-and-so has come, so-and-so has come. And people will be wondering, and as if they are looking for who has come, a relative has come. And these are all river-based and canal-based, you know, area. So most houses would have a little place for to park their boats. So if somebody comes, they usually would have come by boat, and you will go to see in the ghat where, you know, who has come. So they would actually, my mother remembers that she ran to see that who actually has come. And they said, oh, Durga has come. So actually they keep a boat with a little cover and a little light in that, as if Durga is waiting, but you have to invite her the next day in. So really she has, you know, arrived. So in reality, actually, the images of Durga on the Mahalaya day, they are the whole, you know, the image, the idol can be painted and decorated, but the face is not made complete until the Mahalaya day. On the Mahalaya day, the eyes are drawn. As soon as the eyes are drawn, the image has life. So from then on, you have to treat as if somebody is living and with you. So this story grows. Durga is the daughter of the, you know, Himalaya. And so she comes back home for a yearly visit with her children. So not alone. So there's a big celebration. The daughter has come home and she's really treated as daughter. So that there is that celebration that goes on along with, and therefore perhaps this, all this, you know, real meaning of what you should, you know, the self-cleansing part, it probably takes a backseat. But in one of the stories that my mother told, one thing that remained to me about the wild weedy green is taifa. Taifa is called in Bengali Hogla, and it's called cattail in English. So this particular plant, Taifa, I think Taifa elephantens or something, I forget the scientific name for this. So the Taifa, which grows in the Bangladesh and West Bengal area, but it actually grows literally in all northern hemisphere continents. You know, you find them in the North America, you find them in Africa, you find them in, you know, Asia. And so Taifa grows in absolutely flooded area also. So it is actually great for soil, restricting soil erosion. Though if it grows in polluted water, it imbibes the pollutant in the roots. The roots, which is actually edible, you should not be eating unless it is growing in clean water. But, you know, Bangladesh and West Bengal area has a problem of arsenic contamination in water, high degree of arsenic. So Taifa has been actually proven to be effective in removing some amount of arsenic from water. So it is actually a great purification process that it does. So because it grows in the water, it also provides habitat for fingerlings, or the little fish spawn. And so it actually helping the fisheries also in some ways. And the reeds of Taifa, of this plant cattail, it's very tough. It doesn't, you know, it's like, you know, you talk about the duck feather doesn't get wet ever because they grow in water. So it is like that. It doesn't soak in wetness. And therefore, the leaves, when they are young, are great for fodder. When they dry, when they are damaged and dry, they are used as a great fuel. They are good for burning. But the dry, which is, complete leaf, they are excellent for thatching. They are very good for thatching because it doesn't soak in any water. And also, they can be made into mats. They can be made into, woven into other things. So it has lots of uses. And the other thing it does is the pollen. The pollen of the plant, when the flower hasn't quite come out of the bud, as raw and as cooked, it can be eaten. But once the flower is, has come out, they are dioecious, they are male and the female flower. So after the flowers have flowered, and this happens during the rainy season. So towards the end of the rainy season, the flowers have already flowered, and you can collect, it produces copious amount of pollen. And these pollens are edible. So the pollens are astringent. Not only that, when the flower flowers, it has a beautiful fragrance. So the whole environment actually become fragrant. And when the pollen is actually collected, the pollen itself has beautiful fragrance. To make it last longer, sometimes it is roasted and kept. Once it is roasted and dried and kept, it can remain for years. And for the reason, it is also, shout out to my friends who are doing palynology, it's actually the pollen studies to show the past history of a place. Taifa is one of the pollens that people study to see what was the environment was like. So, the pollen, which if it is falls on the soil, it retains its its state. So once it's dried and kept, it can be kept for years. But in the drying process, it is also very fragrant. So this pollen is used for making a variety of sweets. A kind of a cake, pancake kind of thing, laddu, So all kinds of things are made from this pollen. And imagine these pollens are also, they're slightly astringent, which means it helps in digestion. It's a healing, it has a healing property. It's diuretic. It stops bleeding, abdominal, then bleeding associated with postpartum and periods. So it is a wholesome wellness, food. And at the same time, the plant offers so many other things. This plant grows in India, but it's not as widely utilized as it is in other places. And there are, you know, countries like Ghana, Bangladesh, and even in parts of North America, it is much more used than we do. So perhaps it is something, you know, Mahalaya is a time to remember that this is the time to actually look at our uncultivated greens and to see not just greens. In this case, it is not so, you know, not in terms of the greens like you would imagine, but definitely a wild uncultivated plant that can be utilized in many ways and cherished, not just utilized, you know, cherished. So with that thought, I will, I'll see you next time. Stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.